And here's what we're going to be doing on these Sunday nights for the next several weeks. We are going to be talking about interpreting the Bible God's way. What does that mean? What does it mean to interpret the Bible God's way? Is the Bible God's word or not? If the Bible is God's word, if the Bible is God's word, should I interpret it man's way or God's way? It's not man's word. If the Bible is God's word, should I interpret it my way or God's way? It's not called my word either, is it? If the Bible is God's word, should I interpret it your way or God's way? Is it called your word? If the Bible is God's word, should I interpret it any way? Or should I interpret it God's way? It's not called any word, is it? It's called God's word. Therefore, I need to do all that I can to interpret it God's way. If that's the case, if that is true, if God truly loved you and me, if God truly loved you and me, and if He so desired, do you think that God, you like all the clicking? People are still getting their binders, so we can't even click in unison. Some of you are a click behind, by the way. Does God love us? Yes. Do you think God wants us to understand the Bible? If God loves us, and if God... Pardon me for a minute. Note to self, get quiet binders next time. All right. I've got that marked down. Because that pocket in the front just won't do. We got to rip it open. Does God have the ability to give us a written message that we can understand? Does God have the ability to do that? If He loves us and He wanted to, could He give us something we could understand? Does God have the ability to give us something we could understand? If we say that the Bible cannot be understood, that is a statement of our faith towards God and His ability to give us something that we could or could not understand. God is not lacking in the knowledge to know how to do it, nor is He lacking in the ability or the compassion by which to do it. So if I misunderstand God's word, whose fault is that? Well, God didn't make it so I could understand it. It's God's fault. If I misunderstand it, it's all God's fault. He should have made it easier for me to understand. Does God have the ability to give us something that we can understand? Do you think He wants to give us something we can understand? Then if I can't understand it, whose fault is it? If I misunderstand God's word, it's nobody's fault but my own. If there is one God who gave us one book that He gave for all time to every person because He wants everybody to be saved, how many different acceptable ways do you think He would have given for us to understand that book? If God wants all men to be saved, how does He want them to be saved? His way or our way? If He wants man to be saved His way, could He give us a book that we could understand all alike so we could all be saved alike? Or are there different doors to salvation? Seems like Jesus said there was only one door. Remember who that is? It's Him. There's only one door to salvation. There's only one door to heaven. How many different acceptable ways are there to come to the Bible and to interpret it and to understand it? We're going to be talking for the next several weeks about interpreting the Bible God's way. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 in your Bibles. Here's a key verse that we need to know. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Page 1 of your clicking binders has the has 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 broken down into four pieces. And when we look at this passage, we like the old King James. It was the only one who did it. We like the old King James where the first word says to study. But the word there talks about diligence. The old American standard says that we are to give diligence. In order for me, in order for you, to be able to interpret the Bible God's way, it is going to require diligence. It's not optional. When God says, be diligent, maybe that's your translation, or give diligence, that's a command, it's an imperative. It is not an option. God requires that if we're going to understand His Word, that we give our diligence to it. And so in that passage of 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he gives us two promises. If we do that, if we give our diligence, he is going to provide for us the only way by which we can be accepted in his sight. Study, be diligent, give diligence to present yourselves approved unto God. Raise your hand if you want to be approved unto God. Raise your hand. Do you want to be approved unto God? What's it going to take? It's going to take diligence. And if I give diligence, I can be approved in the sight of God. I am provided that. You know what I'm guaranteed? I am guaranteed that I can be a workman who never has to be ashamed. If I come to the Bible with diligence, God says, you don't have to be ashamed. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16, you know what the Bible says. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, do not be ashamed of that which you have believed. We don't need to be ashamed. If we come to the Bible and we give diligence to it, to the study of it, we don't need to be ashamed of it. God's going to provide for us a way and the only way in which we can be approved. But here's the key at the end of the verse. The old King James and the new King James talk about rightly dividing, which is good terminology, but in some minds it makes you think you're slicing a cake or that you're slicing a pie. And how many pieces am I supposed to cut? We think about rightly dividing, and some of us may automatically think about the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. That in order to be approved in the eyes of God, I need to rightly divide between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and that's involved. I must do that. But the phraseology here is much broader than that. And God says, if I want to be approved, it's going to require diligence. There's the two promises, and then he comes back to the second thing that's required of me, and the only way I can achieve approval, the only way I can be guaranteed that I don't need to be ashamed, is if I handle aright the word of truth. Every translation has those last four words, the word of truth. That's what you've got. Do we have a responsibility to handle this aright? Some translations say handle it correctly. Do we have a responsibility to do that? If God says to handle this aright, tell me what would be the opposite of that. If I don't handle it aright, what am I doing? I am handling it wrong. Is that, if God says there is a right way to do it, is there a wrong way to do it? Absolutely. Which way do I want to do it? If God says, handle this correctly, what does He imply by that? Ooh, I could handle it incorrectly. God charges me and you. The only way that we can achieve approval in His sight is to come to this book and to handle it, to divide it, to study it, to interpret it aright. Does that take effort? Yeah. It takes diligence. And that's what God told us that it would take. But if we will come here, not with our own preconceived ideas, but come here with an open mind and an open heart and say, God, what's your way? We will learn it. We don't have time to spend a lot on these next two pages, but we're gonna go through these. Here are 14 helps. Here are 14 things, 14, I think we call it necessities, basic necessities. And then we've got 14 hindrances. What are 14 things that I can use, that I need, that will help me to properly interpret and understand the Bible? We could make a list of 14 more, but here's just 14. And we'll talk about them just briefly as we go through them. But I want you to think about, do I have these 14 things? And do I possess these 14? Am I doing these 14 things? If I want to properly interpret and understand the Bible, what's the necessity? What's required of me? What do I need? Number one, I need faith in God. And I need faith that when I come to this book, that it is inspired of God. How much of it? All Scripture. Some translations say every Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Which ones do those include? Which ones? What does that not include? Does that not include the genealogies in Matthew chapter 1? Are those inspired? How do you think Matthew knew all of those? Does that include the verses about faith? Does that include the verses about the church? Does that include the verses about baptism? If I have a problem with something that the Bible says, who do I have a problem with? I've got a problem with the one who wrote it. I need to have faith in this book that says whatever this book says, it's from God.
That's right.
Second thing I need is to develop my mind. I know that kids hate going to school. Guess what? It's not going to get any better either, okay? There's your little pick-me-up for the week. We don't like going to school, some of us. Some of you still do, so, you know, don't listen to me. If you like going to school, that's great. Keep it up. Live in your little bubble. Is it important to go to school? I'll look this way. Is it important to go to school to learn? Is it important to go to school to develop your mental capacity, to develop your ability to think? I know that we didn't like or don't like or will not like, depending on where you are, algebra. Some of you could have made it through life having never known what X equals, and you would have been okay. But do you know what algebra does? Algebra helps you to think differently than just 2 + 2. Algebra helps you to look at 2 + 2 from a different angle. When we're able to go to school and we're able to look at things differently, we're able to stretch our little mind from 2 + 2 to 2 + x = 4. Ooh, what does x equal? Now I've got to look at that totally different. And when I stretch my mind, when I begin to be able to think of things, God has given us a brain. How much of our brain is it scientists or who is it that tells? How much of our brain how much of the capacity of our brain do we use? I'm wondering. Some of you are higher than others, so I'm trying to figure out where you are. Is it 10% or less? Some of you are more. Some of you are getting there. Is there a limit to how much we can know about this book? Have you ever read a verse? Are we going to get through these 14 things? Have you ever read a verse and said, you know, I never saw that verse that way before? Have you ever read a verse and you connected it with a verse somewhere else? Wow, I never saw that connection before. You know what you're doing? You're seeing 2 plus 2 equals 4 from a 2 plus x. You're seeing it from a different angle. Why? Because you are now able to put more of the picture, the whole picture, into that one verse. When I come to the Bible, I need to develop my mind. And I need to let God, I need to let God's Word develop my mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are we doing that? I know some of us have been out of school for a while. But when it comes to the Bible, as Christians, we're never out of school. We never stop learning. Some of us have been Christians for decades. And in the figurative sense, we haven't even made it to high school with this book yet. We're still in the beginning stages. And that's not a knock on us. That's an affirmation of the depth of this book. You won't make it to college. You're not going to make it to graduate school with this book. This book has wealth and depth to it that will help to change your heart and to develop your mind. Number three, we've got to have a love for this book. We've got to have a love for the truth. We've got to have a desire to know the truth, but not just a desire to know it. We've got to have a desire to do it. We have to have a willingness to study. That's not what we'd like. School has changed a bit. When I was in school, Thursday nights were the worst. Because for some reason, teachers thought that Friday was the only day to give tests. Don't know why. Thursday night was horrible. All that study. I didn't have a whole lot of heart. I didn't have a whole lot of willingness to study. I didn't really like that. When it comes to this book, if you're going to understand it, you got to be willing to study. Not just read it. You got to be willing to study it, to get into it, to dig into it, to want to know it even more. If I'm going to understand this book, I've got to have humility. Got to have an open mind. I will not understand this book if I think I know more than God. I will not understand this book if I read every verse and I try to think if I can come up with a better way than that. Or if I can find a loophole around what that verse says. If I come to a verse and I say, I know that's what that verse says, but I feel in my heart I have just removed humility from my heart and I have just elevated myself above the Word of God. If I'm going to understand this book, I got to come to it without any preconceived ideas, say, God, what do you want me to know? Number seven, I've got to be honest in my study. If I find something that God tells me to do, I need to be honest enough to say I need to do that. You know, that's what leads to repentance, is an honesty that says, I have done wrong. I've done what God told me not to do, and I need to repent and I need to turn. Number eight, we need to have a purity of life that molds and is shaped by this book. It's interesting how there are individuals who have a hard time understanding this book. And part of that goes right back to the impurity and the immorality that's in their life. When their life is characterized by impurity and immorality, they have a hard time understanding this. You know why? They don't want to understand it. Because if they really understand it, they know that they really got to do something about it. If I'm going to understand this book, I've got to be willing to make my life match and to be pure, as the Bible says. Number nine, I've got to have good common sense. It's interesting how many times Jesus said, what do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? All those verses in Matthew that are on your page there. Jesus kept asking, what do you think? Jesus was a teacher, but sometimes as a teacher, he said, well, what do you think about that? Because he wanted them to think about it, and none of his questions were hard. It just took good common sense to put two and two together. The Bible's not that hard to understand. If you've got a sense about you in which you will come and take it for what it means. Number 10, you've got to have a good and reliable translation. We've talked about this in various lessons over the last few weeks. You need to have a translation that is a translation. You need to have a translation that is a word-for-word translation, not someone's paraphrase, not a thought-for-thought conveyance of the information, not as some philosophy of translation goes, not a dynamic equivalent. Well, in the English version, we'll just give you a dynamic equivalent to what the Greek was. I don't want an equivalent. I want to know what it said. Let me figure out what the equivalent is in my life. Let me make the application. You've got to have a good translation. You've got to have good study helps. And I know most of these have moved to computers, but there's still a number of books that you would do well to have in your library as well as some good Bible software. And if you don't have any good Bible software, there's some available cheap. Just go to e-sword.net. Go there and download the whole thing for free. We need to get in to the Bible and have helps to help us to know how to study the Bible, to be able to define words, to be able to look it up in other places. Number 12, when you come to the Bible, you need to expect to understand it. If you come to the Bible, well, I'm not going to understand this. Guess what? You won't understand it. I know that they will not admit it, but those of you who are older will admit that when you were a child, there were times when you purposefully did not understand your parents. I'm not asking for a raise of hands or a nodding of heads, because some of you who are older now, you still have parents in the room, all right? So just be careful. But there were times where you purposefully did not understand. Well, I didn't know that's what you were saying. Why? Because you didn't want to understand. Because if you understood, then you would have some ramifications. So you say, oh, I didn't understand. When you come to the Bible, you need to expect to understand. Number 13, you got to have a prayerful attitude. Come and say, God, please help me understand this. And then you've got to have a willingness to apply what it says. You can't just study it. You can't just come to the truth and then say, well, that doesn't apply to me. You got to have a willingness to study what it says. Before we leave, let me very quickly just go through. I'll just put them up here. You won't even listen to me now that they're all up here. You know what stands in the way of people understanding the Bible? There's a number that we could even add to this, but we're going to stop at 14. Some people can't understand the Bible because they have a desire not to please God, but to please themselves, to please somebody else, to please the world. And when you've got a desire to please the world, you won't understand the Bible. Some people don't understand the Bible because they've got the idea that, well, only the clergy, only the religious people, only the preachers, only the pastors, only the elders, only the whoevers can understand. Only the elite can understand it, which means I got to go ask them. I can't understand it. God has given every one of you in here the ability to understand it. He did not give a special ability to some particular sect of people and remove it from someone else. We all have an equal ability and opportunity to understand it. Number 4, there are some who cannot understand the Bible because they come to the Bible and they try to use it to prove their doctrine. Well, I know that's in the Bible somewhere. I'll just go find it. And they find a verse that sort of matches up with what they're trying to say. And they say, here it is. Here's what the Bible says. We won't understand the Bible if all we use it for is an offensive weapon upon which we come to try to knock somebody down, to prove a point. Oftentimes when we have that idea, we are so way off base in our interpretation and understanding because we are not coming to it honestly. Sometimes people come to the Bible, they come to prove a doctrine. Sometimes they come to it to try to justify some behavior. In recent years, those who want to justify homosexuality have even come to the Bible and tried to use the Bible to justify their lifestyle. Now, if that is not just about as warped as you can get, I don't know what is. But in order to make themselves feel right in the eyes of God, well, God is okay with it. And so they come to the Bible and they try to use the Bible to justify what they're doing. If that's their heart, they will never understand the Bible. They will never interpret the Bible God's way. If they want to prove something with it, if they want to try to justify, you've got to have an open heart. You got to have an honest heart when you come to the Bible. Number six, you've got to read, though people reading it without expecting to understand it. Number seven, people, they're not thorough in their study. In the next page, and we're not going to do it tonight, we'll do it next week on page four. It's on a future page. I don't have it on the next page. On a future page that you'll get sometime. If we're going to understand the Bible, we've got to be thorough in our study. And if we stop short of gathering all that the Bible teaches us, we're not going to understand the fullness of what God says. Some people don't understand the Bible because they've got improper motives, because they come to it with personal prejudices, because they come to it and they've allowed the culture to condition them in certain ways. They come to it and instead of allowing God to define their beliefs and their values, they come to it with their own beliefs and their own values. They regard some kind of human authority, whether that be their authority, whether that be some preacher's authority, whether that be some priest's authority, whether that be the Pope's authority. They regard some human authority over divine authority. When you do that, you're not going to understand the Bible. You'll never interpret it God's way if you don't respect His authority. If you don't respect His way of understanding. They try to harmonize the Bible. They try to make the Bible fit science. They try to make the Bible fit culture instead of making science and culture fit the Bible. While science textbooks come out with new editions every once in a while, this book has never been updated. It's never come out with a new edition, with new improvements and changes. Some people don't understand the Bible because they've got such a dogmatic attitude when they come to it. They've got it maybe a certain hobby horse, a certain soapbox, a certain words we can come up with that they've just got to jump on and they've got to pound. And they miss the whole point of this book. I hope that you will be here every Sunday night for the rest of your life. Especially over the next 12 weeks. Because what we're going to talk about is how do we come to this book? How do we come to this book and interpret it the way God wants us to? Let me say this. We're not going to look at what the Church of Christ teaches about how to understand the Bible. We're going to look at how does God tell us to understand His Word. We're going to let God define that. We're going to let the Bible show us how. So that when we come to this book, we're not putting our faith in a man. We're not putting our faith in ourselves. We're putting our faith in God. Thank you so much for your good attention tonight. Please bring your binders back with you next week. We will add to it, Ray. Tonight you should have had pages 1 through 4. After that cover sheet, you should have had pages 1 through 4, plus the little quiz that we had at the beginning, that loose sheet. Ray, you've got the extra sheet. That's all. That's it. And then you've got the next pages, so I think you've got them all. Thank you all for being here. See you Wednesday night. You're dismissed.